How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to episode 28 of the Sick Podcast with your boy, that Leafs fan. I hope you guys are doing well. Lots of things to cover here. We have a trade. We have players coming back from injury. We have Sheldon Keefe getting his 200th win while he was mixing absolute potions on the ice. But before we get into any of that, enjoy the show. Hit the subscribe and the like button. Producer, let's roll the tape.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With that Leafs fan.
They score! They score! Holy mackerel, they score! Morgan Rielly! Mo Rielly! The Leafs have won it! They're going to the second round! Do you believe this? Holy mackerel!
The sickest Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. It's gonna be sick.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode. I hope you guys are doing well. Thank you very much for tuning in. Where do we begin? I want to talk about, right off the bat, the return of a possible, very playable tandem for the Leafs. Joseph Woll back in nets yesterday versus the Arizona Coyotes at home in Toronto. And I'm actually going to start it off with probably the dumbest, most nonsensical stat that I just can't seem to figure out, but the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Arizona Coyotes in Toronto yesterday. Do you know the last time that Toronto beat the Arizona Coyotes in Toronto? 21 years ago. This streak lasted longer than the Leafs' first round win playoff drought. Let that sink in. The Leafs finally won a round last year. Everyone was buzzing. This streak was longer. And out of all teams in the league, it wasn't the Rangers, it wasn't the Habs, it wasn't the Bruins, it was the Arizona Coyotes. Like, the last time we beat Arizona in Toronto, they weren't even Arizona. They were called the Phoenix Coyotes, just for reference. And Shane Doan was the leader of that team. That's how long ago this was. Like, there was not a single player on this roster that was in the NHL, let alone there was probably not a single player on the team other than like maybe Mark Giordano who was over the age of like 10. But the Leafs get it done last night. They get it done. Joseph Woll with a very strong performance, I thought, for his return. He hasn't played since December 7th. We are now March 1st today, yesterday being leap year, February 29th. He gets the start and gets the win. He played good. He gave us a great chance to win. He made some key saves. I thought it was a good move to put him back in. I don't think having him start against the Rangers on Saturday as his first game back would have necessarily been great, especially considering how strong the Rangers have been this season. Actually in the lead, I think, or tied for the lead for President's Trophy, maybe like 1 point behind. So definitely not the team you would have wanted to start him back in to, you know, settle back in, gain his confidence. Instead, start him against the Arizona Coyotes, who have now lost 14 straight games. But, because that game was, it started off great. Started off great the same way that the game started against the Yotes in Arizona last time. Leafs get the first three goals of the game. First one, Marner's a menace to society, by the way. Like, it's just not fair. To anyone saying trade Marner, this, that, the other thing, I've talked about this like 20 times. You cannot trade Marner. He is the heart of the team. Love him or hate him, that's the fact. Matthews is the engine. Marner is the heart. Name me another guy in the NHL who purposely is on a breakaway and purposely passes the puck while you're on a breakaway. Like, it's not a 2-on-0. It's not a 2-on-0 at all. He is on a clear breakaway. There's two Arizona Coyotes or two opponents behind him and one of his teammates, Matthew Nyes. He gets it to his tape, passes it behind him between the legs on a breakaway, and Matthew Nyes scores against the team where he is from, the Arizona Coyotes. He is from, I'm not sure if he's from Scottsdale, but I know he is from Arizona. So he gets a goal against them. It must have felt really nice for him. That was all Marner. That was all Marner. He's an absolute freak. He's a freak of nature, like McGregor says. It's I love the kid. He's so talented. And you see, when this guy is cooking, he's just Like, Matthews can score at will. Mitch Marner can just create literally things out of, like, thin air. Like, out of thin air, he's just like, yeah, we're just going to make a highlight reel play here. I'm on a breakaway. You think I'm going to shoot? No, I won't, even though I'm on a break. Mitch Marner will never shoot the puck. That's what this is. That's exactly what this is. Mitch Marner will never shoot unless he has – honestly, even with an empty net, he'll probably still be looking for Matthews. He does need to shoot more. Everyone thought he was going to shoot. It's like, obviously, you're on a breakaway. You should absolutely shoot. Nah, let me just go between the legs, find Nyes in the net, 1-0 Toronto. I still don't really have words for that one. Then the Leafs follow that one up. That's how they, I believe it ended 1-0 at the end of the first. Then they head into the second period, take a 2-0 lead. Nephew Tyla tip in the net. It seemed this guy couldn't buy a goal for his dear life, and now it seems he can't go a game without scoring at least one. He has, I want to say, 6 goals in his last. He got 3 against the Avalanche. He got 1 against Vegas. Before the Avalanche, 1 against Vegas. Yeah, he's got 6 goals in 4 games, which is like tied in his last 4 games. Tyler Bertuzzi scored more goals than he did in his previous like 50 or like 45, something stupid like that. So, like Mass said last episode, regressing to the mean. It's got to go both ways. Whatever goes up, got to come down. Whatever goes down, got to resurface at some point. And his scoring has absolutely resurfaced. And it's coming at a pretty key time for Toronto. We do need that depth scoring. So that was really nice to see. Something else I wanted to talk about was Sheldon Keefe. Sheldon Keefe has been under a lot of heat at many points in his career in Toronto and at many points this time in the throughout this season. Yesterday, Sheldon Keefe records his 200th win as a coach. It wasn't as simple as we would have liked because, as I said, it jumped out to a 3-0 lead. But then, obviously, Leafs get a power play. And obviously, Alex Kerfoot, who used to play for us, scores a shorthanded goal because, obviously. And then the Yotes were definitely the better team in the third period. Got off the post. I forget who took it from the point, but Logan Cooley cleaning up the mess. I think it was Yanis Moser who took the shot. It hit off the post, off the back of wall, trails the line. Logan Cooley there to finish the play out. 3-2. And at this point, I was kind of like stressing. I was like, yeah, maybe Marner shouldn't be on defense. We should leave him up front. Love the guy. Not a defenseman. Not a defenseman by any means. Keith, please don't do that ever again, unless you're winning like 8-1, in which I don't care what you do. Clearly, you're doing the right thing. Marner's not supposed to play defense on any occasion, unless it's like the power play and he needs to be the quarterback. Never want to see him on the play defense ever. So just don't do that. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You just got your 200th win, but I'm kind of going to tell you what to do. Don't do that. I'll tell you what not to do. Don't do that, okay? But yeah, so the Leafs finally end up getting the empty net, winning it 4-2. Sheldon Keefe gets his 200th win as a coach. And love him or hate him, Keefe, very similar to Dubas in the sense that when he has something in mind, he goes with it. There's no beating around the bush or anything like that. Like I think he's a lot more hard-nosed than people give him credit for. He takes his losses to the chin and he holds his victories with pride on his shoulder or wears his heart on his sleeve. I'm not sure what the saying. I'm not really sure what I was trying to say there, but basically he wears it. Whether it's a great decision or a bad one, he wears it. And that at least I like about him. The NHL decided to bless this guy with a $25,000 fine right before his 200th win. So hopefully the 200th win makes up for that 25K loss. I'm sure he's doing all right. These guys make millions. A lot of line mixing in this one. A lot. Like at one point, I think I saw David Kampf, Mitch Marner, and it wasn't Matthews. It was like Nyes. It was like Nyes, Kampf, Marner or something like that. And I was like, what is happening here? I guess that was an attempt of a shutdown line. I don't know. That's one critique I do have to give to Keefe. He makes really good line combinations at some times and then also decides to take out the absolute like Super Blender 4000 and just throw things in it and just hope for a great smoothie. And sometimes it tastes great. Sometimes it looks like absolute dog shit. Saw a bit of both in this one. Ryan Reeves, I don't want to look, start him against the Rangers just so he can fight Rempe, whatever. And then I never want to see him play a game again for the Leafs. No hate to the guy. Or, like, don't play him in the third period ever again. How's that? Maybe that's a little better. You can bring him into the first, you know, when there's a lot of fighting, when there's a lot of, when you have to establish your momentum, you know, do what you got to do. Play him in the first, maybe in the second. Stop putting Reeves on the ice in the third period, man. It was like a tough, that was a tough watch. That was a tough watch seeing him there. The Leafs never had the puck when he was on the ice, like, ever. And let alone is he, I don't want to say useless when he does have the puck, but without the puck, it's, you're just at a deficit. Like his skating is just a step behind, and it's, that's not who he is. He's a fighter. We know why Reeves is here. He's not here to set up goals. He's not even here to make a pass or zone breakout. None of that. He is there to absolutely cave someone's face in when they do something stupid against the team, which is why you leave him on the bench, on the payroll. Don't play this guy as on an actual line. Like, make him the extra forward when Rempe goes on the ice Saturday just so they can fight it out, and then right back to the bench, and you can motivate the guys from there. It's very simple, because it's just not playable. It's not the league we're in anymore. It's not playable. Yeah, and it's no disrespect to the guy. It's no disrespect to the guy. The game is just changing. It's got a lot quicker, and he just hasn't. And that's just simply what it is. So, yeah, I definitely don't want to see him playing as consistent. Maybe once the game slows down a bit in the playoffs, because the game, the pace intensity is definitely increased, but the speed of the game is a lot tighter, making it a bit slower come playoff time. So maybe you can utilize him on the fourth line. Like, maybe, you see what I'm saying? Like, I can't even figure out where to put him. So I don't know about that one, especially with Cali Yarncroke coming back in the lineup. I don't see how you take anyone else out other than Reeves to replace him. I thought a lot of guys, especially now, like even the Robertson, we weren't really sure, but now like the Robertson, Tavares, and Bobby McMahon line, I mean, it's looking good. It's not great. It's not horrible. It works on the third line. It's definitely not a bad third line. So I don't see how you take one of them out before just deciding to not put Reeves in the lineup. I just don't see it. Even just taking out Reeves for Gregor straight up, just next game, especially against the Rangers, I mean, you got to start him against the Rangers. It's tough. But again, I'm not the coach. It's not my problem. Let's just see what they do on Saturday. But the Leafs do get the win. This is their eighth win in their last nine games, meaning they got a possible six out of a possible 18 points. They've managed to get 16. And funny enough, they were like 3 points into a playoff spot, and now they are like 12 points into a playoff spot. So this streak has quite literally nearly lamented their spot into the playoffs. It's not quite there yet. I think the point clinch is going to be a lot lower than people had expected. I was thinking it was going to be somewhere from like 96, 97. I just don't see how nine teams in the Eastern Conference push that number. I can see at least six of them push that number, but I think it's actually going to end up being an 89-point to 91-point clinch, which means the Leafs need about like eight more wins pretty much. But I definitely don't want them to just get eight wins. I mean, you look at a team like the Canucks right now, like they're definitely going to make the playoffs, but this is not a good time to go cold, especially not ahead of the deadline, especially not getting closer to the playoffs. Obviously, the games ramp up at this point in the season where teams – need to find that new gear to really find a spot in or to create their opportunity to make the playoffs. And the teams that don't just fall out of it really fast, you see it. They're starting to become that separation. They were very, very, very close. And now between the last wild card and the first team of outside looking in, is like already like a 6-7 point separation, which doesn't seem like a lot, but games are running out. And if you just keep winning, the teams under you are just never going to catch you. So it's definitely a different level of games starting to happen, and this is not the time you want to go cold. So this streak that the Leafs are having now is great. They do only need 500 hockey to make the playoffs. I don't want them to only play 500 hockey. Matter of fact, I don't really give a shit if I don't really give a shit about the result of the game as much. Like, I definitely do, but I don't care about it as much as the whole 60 minutes as an entirety, like how the overall performance was. Like, how are we winning our games? How are we losing our games? How are we keeping ourselves in it? How are we shooting ourselves in the foot? It's more that what I'm paying attention to leading into the playoff season, because again, don't need to win President's Trophy. We know that means absolutely nothing. We're gonna play the Panthers, Bruins, or Rangers. There's not really another option. That's just what it's gonna be. So we can, unless we literally win all our games, we're probably gonna finish third in the division or first on wild card, something like that. That's just the way that it is. That's just the way the standings have been going. So there's that. We're that's what it is. That's this whole playoff format. In a regular time, like 10, 15 years ago, if we were just doing 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, we're playing the Hurricanes instead. Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Those are our options right now as it stands. So we're gonna have to see what happens there. I want to talk about a trade that Mr. Leafs fan MD Mass called, like fully called, like fully called. We're definitely gonna need to clip it. Ilya Lyubushkin was once a Leaf, then he wasn't, and now he is again. He is a right-handed defenseman. Is he great? Not at all. Is he expensive? Not at all. He's actually literally making league min. He has 75% retained on his contract of 2.75 million, which would mean 2.75 divided by 2 is 1.37. He's making about like 687.5 thousand, something like that, under 700K, which is pretty much what the Leafs can afford. They gave up a third and a sixth. It's considering the time we are in the season where everyone's overpaying, that's not bad. Again, this isn't the large move. I hope not. I don't think so. He is a right-handed shot. He has paired with Riley when he what for his time in Toronto. And that's what we did want. We wanted a partner for Riley. I wanted someone a little better in terms of asset management and like of him having a contract into next season. He doesn't. He is pretty much a rental. But again, we didn't give up much for it not to be a rental. So I don't mind the move at all. We're gonna see how he fits in. This is not a make it or break it. This is kind of just adding a piece that could help. We get better. I don't know how much better, but we definitely at least find something, a right-handed defenseman, which is so scarce in the city of Toronto. I don't know why. We literally started yesterday's game with six left-handed defensemen, which is so beyond stupid. I don't understand it. TJ Brody cannot play on the right side. He just can't. He'll get burnt. Obviously, you'd like him to stop the guy, but he's just not, it's not his side. He's like, I play lefty as well. When there's a guy rushing in trying to beat you on the outside and go to the net, but you're a lefty and he's coming through the left side, you have your left arm that's free and you can poke. If you're on the other side, you have your stick on your inside hand and your other. So you're kind of like doing this, like where you're like stretching behind. It just doesn't work. He's not good on the right side. We need more right-handed defensemen. Ilya Lyubushkin is that. He's a right-handed defenseman. Does he provide offense? Absolutely none. Is he stay-at-home defense? He's kind of like a Simon Benoit. Like a little bit of different, maybe like slightly more like he jumps up sometimes, but he's kind of like a Simon Benoit. That's what he is, in case like you're wondering. That's how I see it at least. He's a guy who is going to be like the anchor for Riley, because Riley's going to now, first of all, have a right-handed defenseman play with him because he never gets those. And he's going to be able to jump up into play, and he's going to have, it's kind of like the Erik Karlsson, Mark Methot style to that line combination, where Riley is more on the offensive side. Lyubushkin is more the I got you, bro, do what you want, I'm right behind you kind of guy. And so we're gonna see how that goes. Like I said, I really hope the Leafs do make more. I think there is more coming. But in terms of what was given for this, I mean, can't be mad at giving up a third and a sixth. It's Toronto. We're used to seeing our first fly out the window like the birds in the morning. It's just, you can't be mad about it. I think it's a very good move that doesn't add pretty much any salary to the cap. Labushkin, like I said, league min, can't complain about that. So there's going to be a lot of things coming in exactly 1 week from now on March 8th, next Friday. There is going to be the trade deadline. Trades are going to start pumping out now. You saw Tanev get traded to the Stars. That was a fantastic move. Stars are looking scary, like scary. They're going to be an absolute wagon. Logan Stankoven too. Oh my God. Wow. I love the guy. Now you got Labushkin off the board. I heard that the Bruins and the Lightning are actively in a race for Noah Hanifin to see like who can win that trade. So the teams we're playing against are also bolstering their teams. So I don't think the Leafs can be done. I think they definitely have other things to do, but this is a start. It's a start in the right direction. Like I said, I think the team directly gets better without having to remove a piece from our team. We just added a body and didn't give up anything that the Leafs value because they just don't value picks. It's just how it is. I've come to accept it at this point. I'm used to it. So interesting to see what'll happen on Saturday. I'm looking forward to one thing, obviously the game, but I just want to see that kid Rempe, man. He's just been so fun to watch. Like, I don't care about the Rangers at all. They're not even in our division. I don't keep a close eye on them other than having a couple of their players in my fantasy team. But like Rempe, dude, the kid's 21. He's 6'8", 240. Like, how is that even legal? How is that possible? And he takes punches to the face and then just smiles. Like, this kid is just happy to be there. Guy had a full black eye and he's just like, yeah, it's just another day at the office. It's fine. He has like definitely more penalty minutes than ice time ever. So that's crazy. Interested to see how him and Reeves got a fight. I think so. I don't know. I was just like kind of thinking about it. I'm like, they have to fight. If Reeves is going to start that game, it better be because they're going to fight. Because if they're not going to fight, then just don't put Reeves. Just don't play him. That's how I see it. Because, yeah. Anyways, that is how we are going to end today's episode, guys. I hope you definitely did enjoy today. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button. We are very few followers away from, subscribers from 800, which is insane. If you're listening on Spotify and you don't get to see my very ugly face, make sure to leave a review, share it to a friend, hit the follow. And yeah, just thank you very much for watching. I hope you guys did enjoy it. Leafs are on a run at the right time. And I want to know what you guys think. Are we making any more trades? Are we keeping it as is? And who do you think we're going to match up with if we even make the playoffs? Let me know. Hit the subscribe, drop the like, and I'll see y'all in the next one. Peace out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with That Leafs Fan on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.